Here on Outwork with the Ready, we use Slack to collaborate on nearly every part of making the show.
It's where we share research, talk about listener questions, and plan future episodes. That's because Slack is the AI-powered platform where work happens. It's a place for teams of all sizes to come together so they can be more productive, organized, and creative.
Plus, it adapts to our workflow, not the other way around, offering everything from messaging to audio clips. And for the times we really need to sync up on the finer points of something, Sam and I can jump right into a huddle for FaceTime. No scheduling required.
Now, if only recording our show was that easy.
Right? So whatever you're trying to grow, do it faster and easier with Slack.
Learn how at slack.com.
I mean, I always think about saying no. If you feel like you can't say no to something, then you can't really say yes to it.
What? Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Rodney Evans, and I am joined today by my longtime co-host of the Brave New Work podcast, Aaron Dignan.
Hey, everybody.
I am also joined today by my co-host from the Future of HR miniseries and Ready OG and friend of the original pod, Sam Sperlin.
Hello as well, everyone.
Today, we're going to do a bunch of updating about where we've been, where we're headed this year, what's next for the pod. But before we do that, we must check in. And Aaron has graciously volunteered to lead us.
That's right. I've had a few months to think of a question, so get ready for doozy. No, this is actually going to be the most like funny layup question. It's not serious. But I was thinking about the flavors and the personalities that have been on the show. And I was like, a good check-in question would be, what are the ice cream flavors of the other two hosts? So you kind of say, like, what flavors are we bringing to the table here on the ice cream sundae that we've made thus far? So that is the check-in question. I can start if it's helpful, give you guys a moment to think about it.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. Okay. So Rodney, I feel like you are like a dark chocolate gelato, where it's like high end, it's kind of strong, but not too strong, but it like can be sweet. It can be a little tangy. It's got that like cacao papao character, and it's gelato because it's like smoother. It like knows what it's doing. It's not like trying too hard.
This is absolutely the response of someone who's been thinking about this for months. Sorry, carry on.
All right. And Sam, you are either
if you say vanilla, you'll be accurate, but I will be mad.
You're either birthday cake or mint chip. All right. And I can't decide. I feel like the mint chip part is like every once in a while you get a little snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah. All right.
And, you know, you bite back. But okay. The birthday cake is just like, it's a good time for everybody.
Right. Thank you. And that is delightful.
You're welcome. I hope I slightly complimented and slightly offended both of you.
Yeah.
I hate dark chocolate so much. And it's one of the foods that I try to pretend that I like. Like when I'm in a fancy restaurant and they bring dark chocolate and I'm like, oh yeah, I eat that. And like, I don't because I like trash chocolate. But I like being compared to it.
Yeah, maybe you can't handle yourself.
Because it's something that I pretend that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam, are you ready?
I'm so ready. And I don't know why.
Oh my God.
Because,
okay.
Somehow an answer is like immediately popped into my mind. Aaron, you're pistachio ice cream because you're kind of weird. And I mean, that's basically all I've got. Pistachio is kind of a weird flavor, but like people who
kinda
are really into pistachio are like really into it. And a lot of people are often like, I don't know if I'm going to be into this. And then you get some pistachio ice cream and you're like, this is weird and awesome. So I'm going with that.
It's an ice cream that exists, even though it feels like it shouldn't.
It sounds like a joke. Not that you are, but it kind of sounds like a joke.
I feel it.
And then Rodney is maybe the complete opposite of Aaron's answer. I was going to say like some sort of like mango, like sorbet, some sort of like bright fruity flavor that just, you know, brings a lot to the party and, you know, maybe a little bit of like fake healthy.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I do feel like I'm fake healthy.
Yep.
It's very good. We, in our entire relationship, I feel like you are always low-key calling me fruity.
Right.
Like, just it works its way in.
Maybe.
To things.
Fruit's a good thing.
I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
I'm another thing I aspire to like more than I actually do.
Right.
I'm always like, I'll have the fruit. Like, I don't eat fruit.
So far, we've made two fake desserts.
Milk chocolate.
Dark chocolate and fruit. Neither are legitimate desserts.
No, they're not. I'm like, give me cookies. Yeah. Give me cookies in a package made by a conglomerate, just full of garbage. For Sam, salted caramel.
Oh, yeah.
Because salty.
Yep.
So salty.
Yep.
Delicious. Secretly sweet.
Yep.
But like you have to get into it for a while to really enjoy how sweet it is.
I'm loving the backhanded compliments.
Yeah.
This
is like a great chance to poke. I feel so like a salted caramel ice cream does have a mustache.
Yeah, for sure. If there's an ice cream flavor that has a mustache, it's salted caramel. That's the one.
In the corner.
Sure. All right. Yep.
Aaron, there is a town in Japan that I have been to called Kamakura.
Okay.
That is famous for dark purple ice cream made of yams that are only grown there. And it's this cool, like, surfer town in Japan. It's on the water. And then you get this soft serve. It's like dark purple soft serve. And I feel like it is the most Aaron Dignan, like, hyper specific luxury item of ice cream, where it's like, it's unexpected. People flock there for it.
Amazing.
They're like, I got to get that soft serve. And it's fucking weird, but it's good, you know?
Don't eat too much, though.
Well.
It's not a thing that you're going to sit down and like eat a pint of. Small doses. Right. Small, delicious doses.
Well, now I have a project because I haven't had it. So I'm in.
Oh, that's great. It's really great. I'll be in Japan in a week. I'll see if I can ship it to you.
Sick.
I'll try. All right. I feel like we're checked in the funnest and longest check-in round.
Sorry.
This is the most checked in I've maybe ever been. I don't know what to do with all of this energy.
So checked in. So I don't know if anybody noticed, but we've been on a hiatus for like a super long time. So we thought it would be a good time to come back and say what's up and talk about the future of the show. And we thought what could be fun to do that is to like start by looking back a little bit on where we've been till now. Jack informed me the other day that we've done 7 seasons of this show.
Oh my God.
Did you know that?
No.
I mean, obviously they're made up.
Right.
He just was like, that's one
draw
season,
the line here,
that's
or there.
Season 2. Yeah. But still.
It's a lot.
I mean, it's a fuck ton of us talking to people.
Yeah.
So Aaron, maybe like share what you want about how we got here.
Can I actually like interview you two on this first initial section? Because
sure, Sam, you were around, but you weren't in the lab.
Yeah, I was like, you know, on the edges being like, what are these guys up to? And then, you know, I got to come in and do my action meeting episode,
mm-hmm.
you know, which was obviously the highlight of whatever
audition,
year, whatever season that was.
You were one of the two people at the ready who listens to the podcast.
Yep,
that's right.
Now there's only one.
Now
this is Alistair.
I'm going to put, that's not true. Everyone loves it. everyone listens to it. We'll say that. I'm going to put my definitely Ira Glass not hat on and be an interview guy or whoever is a good interviewer. An
interview guy. All right, go get it.
Get it, salted caramel.
So let's start. The show started in 2019. Why did you decide to even boot this thing up? What's the origin story of the podcast?
I feel like all origin stories are lies because you like rewrite history in your head as you go. But what I remember is that writing the book was really hard because we tried to bite off essentially more than can be chewed in a book. And at the end of it, it was like, oh man, there's so much left to say. 40,000 words on the cutting room floor and things are changing. Do you really want to do a sequel? Or how do you follow that up? Or how do you dig deeper? And then we were at a retreat following the release of the book, I believe. And Rodney and I, this might have been in New Orleans. Can't remember. We were talking.
It was in Rhode Island.
Okay. We were talking like out in like a hotel lobby and then out on a patio. And it was just like, we should be recording this. Like, this is the deeper conversation. This is the follow-up. This is a way to invite people in and like unpack the work more fully. And this is just really fun. And so I think for me, that was like the spark where I was thinking, we should just try putting a microphone in the room when we're talking shop. And I don't remember how long it took to convince Rodney to do it, but I feel like it was like relatively quick. And then we made, I want to say 5 or 6 episodes that were never released, and then kind of figured out a little bit about what we were doing and never stopped, essentially. Like, it just went on and on and on.
Does that match your memory, Rodney? What?
No, see? I told you.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you.
That's not Please. How reality works.
I mean, yes, in terms of the actual things, but I think because I was not involved in the writing of the book, I think my motivation was a little bit different, which was at the time, all I was doing was client work, and I was hiring and training everyone who joined the Ready, basically. And what that meant was that I just said the same shit every single day, like 4 times a day. And so when Aaron and I started talking about this, I was like, what if some of this was recorded and then people could just listen to a recording rather than me saying it again?
Because
it was
yourself.
Like, you know, probably at that retreat, I was probably working on like between advising and embedding, I was probably working on like 4 or 5 client projects and was trying to teach this work to like 6 new people. And it was just like so much rinse and repeat that it just felt like having content somewhere that was referenceable would make my life a lot easier.
Yeah.
So I think that was the primary motivation. But then I think as it went on, and like at least for me, as Aaron and I started to focus on different things, it also was just a chance to like sort of catch up and like make sense of what was happening because we were no longer really like working on the same stuff. Yeah. So like it changed a lot. For me, at least, it met 2 very different purposes between 2019 and whenever we stopped.
Yeah. So in late 2019, you probably didn't realize that you were standing on a precipice along with everybody else standing in late 2019. So how did COVID showing up in early 2020 show up in the podcast? How did it change the podcast? How did you all kind of bring the podcast to meet that moment, which was, you know, kind of crazy for everybody?
I mean, for me, like 2 things. One is, I don't know if I had still been traveling in 2020, like I had been for the previous almost 10 years, I don't know if there would have been a podcast because like it was not very practical to be trying to do this like in random conference rooms in like Tampa and Denver and other places. I tried, but it didn't go great. So on the one hand, I think the pandemic was like an enabler just practically. But like on a more emotional hand, I also feel like early in 2020, like I was freaking out being someone who traveled constantly and was hyper social all the time and then was suddenly like in this house. I feel like the podcast was like, and particularly doing that like mini series that we did about the pandemic, it was like a place to make sense of what was going on and talk about quote unquote what to do about it while I like stood in a closet in my house. So yeah, that was how it felt to me at the time.
Yeah. How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it was one part salve because I also was trapped suddenly in my room, which led to a bunch of bad decisions. But I feel like I feel like the ability to connect and talk shop and kind of like explore the work, maybe take time to think about the work in a way that we hadn't had the time to do was useful. And I think in terms of like the mini series we did on being ready for anything, ready for the pandemic, it just felt like such a massive sort of, this is what we're talking about. Like it wasn't a told you so, but it kind of felt like you have to be adaptive. You have to be able to move and shake. And the world presented this really fundamentally disruptive challenge that was, you know, obviously quite tragic in a lot of ways, but also very motivating in a lot of ways for teams and companies to think differently. So it just felt like it suddenly felt like the show was important and meaningful in a way that before maybe it was just reflective. Because it was kind of like there are people out there trying to figure out how to stay in business and how to get through it. And so that was a good outlet.
Yeah. I remember listening to it in that time, feeling similar things when I was not making the podcast, but it was listening to it was reassuring in some way and validating and for like the work that we were doing with our clients as well. Really stepped into that moment well with that.
I was working with a client at the time. I was on a project full time and she said to me when they all started working from home, you know, immediately and suddenly that her teams were the only teams in this giant organization who seamlessly adapted to pandemic life. And it was because we had been working together for a year at that point. And so they had already started like using video in meetings and doing asynchronous work and using tooling differently and communicating via chat and having clarified decisions, blah, 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 blah. And right before we started making Ready for Anything, we had this conversation and she was like, all of the things that we've been doing for the last year felt intuitively right to me, but now I understand how they're related to actually adapting because everybody else here is freaking out. And I was like, that's cool. That means that this is like helpful when shit really hits the fan.
Totally.
So we've been talking about kind of some various phases of the podcast history. So Ready for Anything, the DAO miniseries, the Future of HR miniseries that we just finished up. And I'm curious, as you kind of look back on this multi-year project, if there's just anything that stands out to you that you've learned by doing this project. You know, anytime you do a project that lasts for a long time, it morphs and changes over time. So wondering if there's like one thing that stands out for each of you from working on that.
I think the thing that stood out to me was that different communication channels create different emotional and mental responses. And so when you meet someone whose book you like, you're like, hey, I like your book. And when you meet someone whose podcast you like, you're like, we're best friends and you don't know it. And I feel like that is how the world works for me with other podcasts I listen to. And for some of the people out there who have listened to this and talked to me and to Rodney, it's like, it's a different kind of connection. And I didn't expect that going in. Going in, I was just like, oh, this is a thing people are doing. We should do a thing. It's fun to talk, yada, yada, yada. But I didn't expect the connection. And so now I see it as maybe one of the most potent art forms in a way that I didn't before.
What about you, Rodney?
And then I think you should go, Sam, too, because you're now also the host of a podcast.
Sure.
I think the biggest lesson for me, and I'm really trying to hang on to this now that we're starting again, is like, I think you have to make the show that you want to make and that is fun. Like,
totally.
Like, I think for Aaron and I, anytime we veered into let's do this because we should, or let's do this because it's this moment, or let's do this because it's this famous person, or let's do this, it was not fun for us and it showed. First of all, I don't listen to those episodes because I see them in the feed and I'm like, I didn't like it when I was there. I'm not going to listen to it now. And second of all, I think probably it shows, even if it doesn't feel super obvious, I think there's a vibration of like, we don't want to be here. And, you know, I posted something on LinkedIn yesterday that because of the Spotify Wrapped thing and the fact that we were people's number one podcast, which like hundreds of people, which truly blows my fucking mind. And it's like, I said, like, we would have made this show if no one listened to it. Yeah. And I mean that. Like, I think that was the point of the show, was that it was fun for us. And it was a place for us to hang out and have the conversations that we wanted to have that you just don't make space for when you're busy working. And so I think anytime we, for me at least, anytime we veered away from that to make the podcast that someone thought we should make or that the market said was important, it was worse. And like, I just don't want to do that.
What about you, Sam? What did you learn?
I mean,
in your
I don't
arc?
Have the long history that the two of you do. I just have the Future of HR miniseries plus that excellent, excellent episode on action meetings, which I'm just
what was that, number 80? Is that right?
So good.
I don't know. I don't know was the it? Number. I should know. If it's 80, that's way
you
too long.
Get
how
a tattoo.
Did it take 80 episodes before you guys, whatever. I'm not mad.
I mean, you kept sending pitches and we were just like, someday.
Yeah.
Edible arrangements, you know, just begging.
I mean, my thing on this is that, and this is true for my writing and this is true for any sort of creation, is that sometimes I get way into my own head about needing to figure out what I think about a thing before I'll make a thing. And realizing that the act of writing, the act of talking to you about it is actually how I develop what I believe and think about stuff, and being okay with that and kind of trusting that that's actually partially what makes podcasts interesting, at least for the podcasts that I tend to listen to. I like to see the development of the host's thinking kind of in real time.
So we've talked about where we've been. What are we going to talk about now? What we're going to talk about now is who's going to be on this fucking podcast. So Aaron, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Aaron left the building like nearly a year ago. And then I basically railroaded Sam into doing the Future of HR thing with me because I needed help. And he's a sucker. But we love how it's working. So we're going to keep rolling this way. So Sam is going to stay on the pod. We're going to change things up a bit for next year. Aaron, what are you going to do with all the time you're getting back?
Well, I think the story I was thinking of about this was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, there's a surfing coach played by Paul Rudd, whose Hawaiian name is Kudu. And his advice to the person trying to learn how to surf is pop up, but do less. Which is one of my favorite lines and my favorite scenes. And I think the reason I like it so much is that it's really what I needed to hear. So as those of you who've listened to the show over the years know, like doing too much and trying to do it all and trying to be achievement oriented has been my albatross for a long time. And in February, it kind of came to a head where I was like, oh, I don't have to do that. Like I can pop up, but do less. And so a big part of that is saying no to things that I love, including this show. So hilariously, even though I have not been doing the show, I have been listening to it like a fanboy the entire time that y'all were making it. Because
do you feel
I
like you know me, Aaron?
Do
you feel
like
you
I know do? Like, I do feel like I know you. I feel like we're best friends. Yeah, no, honestly, like I listened to it because I care about it and I really enjoyed it. And I was surprised how much I enjoyed it not being in the center of it. So yeah, I just felt like, you know, sometimes it's good to let things fly. And the fact that the dynamic was so good, I was like, oh yeah, it is safe and okay for me to like step back a little bit and focus on other things. And honestly, it's not just other things, it's fewer things. So that's been the jam. But yeah, for me, I'll be working on the startup that we spun out of the Ready, which is called Murmur Labs, but which is currently making a product called Supermanage. And I'm also just focusing on my own mental and physical health for the first time in 10 years, which has been really fun. I cannot beat either of you at swimming, unfortunately. That's not in my health repertoire. But yeah, I'm going to be a listener, maybe a call-in listener occasionally.
You can come back as a guest.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I just want to call in and heckle from time to time.
Provide, that'll be fun. We'll have Jack produce you. He's very specific now about expectations of the guests. He wants guests to start filling out a questionnaire or something. And I'm like, bro. What's happening? So anyway, look forward to a type form arriving in your inbox before your next appearance.
I don't know if I want to be handled by Jack. Too intense.
He's the best.
It is true. He is. Best in the biz.
Sam, you've agreed to stay.
Yes.
Did you think about saying no? Tell me what the process was.
I mean, I always think about saying no. If you feel like you can't say no to something, then you can't really say yes to it.
Did you just make that up? I did.
Holy
shit. This is why he's good on this show. Because he's like a fortune cookie, but as a person.
Yeah. Crack him open.
Yeah. You know, I definitely thought about it. I, you know, have a lot on my plate client-wise and everything else going at the ready. But I've always loved podcasting. Like, I've done many podcasts, lots of podcasts before this. In grad school, I had a podcast called The File Drawer that I was doing with a friend of mine. We're talking Well, it's very much retired now, but I still have the episodes.
Can I still hear it?
You want to hear Sam from the 2012, 2014 realm before I even knew anything about this work? It's there. And then I've been doing a podcast with my brother, ostensibly about work, called Fields of Work for 4 or 5 years at this point, like 70 episodes. So like I've always enjoyed this medium and I'm a huge podcast listener. So the opportunity to step into a vehicle that you all have already created, like those two podcasts I just mentioned probably have a grand listenership of maybe two hands, like 10 people, probably 8 of which are my family members. So different dynamic here, but really, really exciting. And I love talking about this stuff.
Sam, nice. Step into my reasonably sized shoes.
Happily. I will try
they're,
to.
They're about a solid 8. So yeah, really okay. on right. the lower side.
Well, I mean, I would be lying if I said when we first started the Future of HR miniseries, I was like, there are going to be revolts in the street because I am not Aaron. Everybody loves Aaron. And like, I have podcasts that I listen to where if they suddenly changed the host, I'd be like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, where is the people that I know and love? And yeah. I mean, maybe that outrage was quiet and I just didn't hear it. And not to say that, you know, you're easy to replace, Aaron. That's not the moral of the story here, but just that it felt important to me to keep at the same level that you were bringing to the podcast. And I tried to take
what
that
you've
seriously.
Discovered, Sam, is that people mostly listen for Rodney and I was exactly. a foil. To bounce ideas off of. Occasionally, I also quipped myself a quip.
Yeah, I try to, you know, I just try to occasionally sound like a fortune cookie and, you know, stay out of the way.
That's good.
I mean, I had to have a foil. Look, it's obviously I've always been the relatable one. You guys are the smart ones and I'm the relatable one. I bring the big sister energy and you bring the knowledge. That's how this podcast works. So I just had to swap in one nerd for another nerd.
That's how it works.
So that there's like someone with professorial energy so that I can be mango sorbet.
And who better than a PhD dropout to bring that professorial energy?
Who better than an actual professor to take
PhD the seat? Dropout, happily dropped out, and you know, been around the ready for a minute. So
longer than me.
Since the Panera, Sam.
The Panera days, as I call them.
Like they're like the salad days, but with so many more calories.
Yeah, exactly.
The bread bowl days.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you said yes. I'm glad you took the rose, Sam. I really appreciate it. From like the first episode that we recorded, I was like, this is going to work so easy. Yeah. I also like showing up and getting trolled by you every single week. You make fun of me in a very specifically hurtful way that is not easy to replicate.
It's a gift, you know.
It is a gift. It's a niche skill set. Yeah. But you are an expert. So with the torch officially passing, we needed like a prop.
Yeah, there's no props. What can I do? No I have props. A candle. I can pass a candle.
My whole thing, you know, at
so
the
many
end
props
of IDM,
actually on my desk.
Back when we used to do IDM like live governance, I always try to get us to do a synchronized clap at the end.
Right, I remember that.
It sounded good.
It was always a bad clap.
Kind of the point. Yeah, it was horrible. It'd be like, clap, 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 clap.
Do you want to try it right now?
Yeah,
is that what we're leading up to?
One, two, three.
So bad.
Wow. So bad.
You two were identical, though, and I was right.
Thank you.
That's weird.
Nice. Yeah, that tracks. We're on point.
That sounds right.
All right.
All right, we clapped, Sam. Does that mean I get to leave?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm still working. Okay, got it.
We're not done with you yet. So, Sam, do you want to tell whoever is still listening at this point?
True.
I love them.
Someone really trying to set up their 2024 Spotify Wrapped.
I know somebody's like, I'm going to get the raffle next year. Do you want to talk about what we're going to do? I guess it's technically this year by the time this show airs.
Sure. I mean, I think the main thing that I actually want to say is that it's not like we are drastically changing the show. It's not suddenly going to be like a talent show or something. Like we're still going to be talking about organizations, progressive organizations, organizational change. But I think, you know, the conversations we've had around how do we want to shift the tone of the show or the topic of the show has been really digging into that change aspect of it. You know, I've been spending a ton of time in client work. Like that is what I spend 99% of my time doing. And there's so much to talk about in terms of getting into the weeds of how change does and doesn't happen in organizations. Not that you all weren't talking about that before, but you know, there were episodes like my action meeting one, which is not really about change. It's about a cool little tool. I think that won't necessarily go away, but it'll be a little bit more hyper-focused on how do you actually get these often behemoth organizations to start to shift.
Why do that? What are y'all like sensing or feeling from the audience or the market or the world where you're like, that's where we want to dig deeper moving forward?
Yeah. Happy to take a first swing at this, but I think we've gotten so much feedback from people who listen to the show and they have roles in these organizations where they often feel alone in their desire to actually bring positive change to organizations. And it's not that they're missing a tool necessarily, or like just if I had the right framework, I'd be able to change things. It's the much more kind of, I don't know, to use a particularly martial metaphor, hand-to-hand combat of like how you actually talk about and bring change to organizations. And we're wondering if we can offer some emotional support, some actual support to folks who are in that sort of position.
Yeah. I think for me, it's like, I'm going to say it's three things.
Rule of threes.
I know. I should have worked for McKinsey. One is we get a lot of feedback that the very practical shows are really helpful. And we got a lot of feedback about the Future of HR miniseries that was like, there's a container in my brain for this. Like this
This goes
content goes somewhere. And Aaron, I think the show we made was always like intellectually interesting to us, but not always easily referenceable for the audience. Like, you know, you would have to happen to be planning a retreat on the week that we talked about retreats for that to like get the juice out of that or remember, you know, you get it. So I think that was one of the things is like, I think Sam and I are aiming to make a show that feels a little bit more like easy reference, practical application, like sturdy containers. Two is I'm sick of change management, the practice. I am like the snake oil of that industry is gross. And it's much like HR in the sense that like, I don't think the people are bad or poorly intentioned, but I think that it is like change management, the way that I see it in the world, only admires and upholds what is wrong in toxic bureaucracies. And three is, I think just the way the Ready has evolved in the last year, particularly around how we do growth, is we've just spent a lot more time in the problem spaces with people. And what I've come to realize is like that awareness, not just of like, we're not making money or we can't retain people or we're not innovating, not just like, okay, cool, here's the answer for that, but really spending the time with people to be like, why is that? Like, let's really start to pull apart that ball of spaghetti and understand the deeper OS junk that is keeping that pattern in play and in cycle. It's been really, really interesting. And it's been counterintuitive to me that clients make progress faster at the beginning because their awareness is higher, not from having been primed by us, but from having dug into their own problems.
Interesting. So I guess from what y'all said before and what you just said, I'm seeing the Venn diagram of what we want to talk about and like what is exciting to us and the Venn diagram of what they want to hear about getting closer to a circle.
Exactly.
We'll never be exactly a circle because to Rodney's point before, we're going to make the show that we want to make. So guess what? I'm already calling the shot. There's going to be some episodes that we're, our listeners are like, what are they even talking about? But I'm going to be stoked on it. And to a certain extent, that matters. Rodney, we'll see where you land on this. But I'm also anticipating maybe you're going to bring a real stinker topic to the show. And I'm just going to, you know, I'll play with it. But
just roll with it.
All right. Well,
I'm also really distracted by ball of spaghetti.
That's not a normal thing.
No.
Why not?
I've never seen
neither
a ball
is a
of
ball of wax. People say it's a whole ball of wax. What the fuck is a ball of wax?
It's a ball of
that's
yarn.
That's a ball of wax.
It's a ball of yarn is the
yeah,
thing,
what is
right?
A ball
that's
of wax?
That's for cats, Sam. That's not a metaphor we use. It's a whole ball of yarn. Balls of yarn are organized as balls. They're not hard to untangle. You just pull on the thread and then it comes unraveled. That's how yarn works.
What? Spaghetti, you can just like, it's soft. You can just like cut right through it. Anyway, sorry.
We usually
Sam,
throw the spaghetti at the
spaghetti,
wall.
You have to pull. Oh my God. Am I going to have to teach you how to eat pasta now?
Episode 350.
That's on the table, sure.
All right. That's his whole own show, teaching Sam how to eat food.
Did I just end this podcast episode?
I think you did.
Sorry, I'm not sorry.
All right,
for
Sam.
Better or worse. No, I think this is a great place to wrap this up. Aaron, is there anything you want to say to our listeners, especially the people who have stuck with us for like at 4 full on years?
Oh my God. If you've listened to every episode of this podcast, you are fully one of us. And if you ever see us on the street, you have to come up and approach us like we're already best friends. I want to say thank you. Like, this has been an incredibly rewarding experience. I want to say thank you to you, Rodney, because we like totally learned by doing and made a mess and had a lot of fun. And yeah, thank you to the people that listened because, like I said, it forms connections that I have not experienced in my career. Typically, I would write something theoretical or heady and people would like it and that'd be the end of it. And this feels like we've done something more resonant. So even though it may have wandered occasionally, even though it may have been a little off topic, it has been real and it has been fun and it will continue to be real fun, especially for me as a listener.
Awesome.
That's great. Yeah. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode.
Oh my gosh.
So make sure to stay subscribed on whatever platform you like to listen to us on. You might see a new title and some new artwork appear soon, but the nerdery will be the same. And the whole Brave New Work back catalog will still be there to listen to. I've heard episode 80 is a particular banger.
See? Told you.
How did you know that, Aaron? Line. Did you look that up today?
I did a little.
Or do you know all of them by heart?
I did a little home. Oh, yeah, right. Know them all by heart. I bet I couldn't list 20 without losing my mind. No. Yeah, I just did a little homework.
I love it. All right, y'all. Go listen to the back catalog anytime you miss Aaron. I know that I will. Thank you to both of you for being willing to do this. Aaron, it has been an amazing bunch of years and 200 and something episodes. Sam, it's been all right. We'll get better. I'm just kidding. I love it. I love you both. Thank you to Taylor. Thank you to Jack for making us do this. It was really fun and, you know, was organized because he was involved. This show is produced by The Ready, where we help organizations around the world change the way they work. You can get in touch with us by emailing us at podcast@theready.com. Stay subscribed, and we will see you with a brand new episode in 2 weeks.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go leave a review.
Yes.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes. Woo.